1 Timothy 3, verses 12 through 13, these are God's words. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Hopefully, you remember from the last couple of weeks that first in verse 8 and 9, the Spirit gave us the character that by which we would identify someone whom he was calling to be a deacon in verse 8, and also the integrity of his doctrine, his convictions, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. And then in verses 10 and 11, the Spirit instructed us that the church is to test, test by proving and approving. In a test case, a man who has the conscience, has the character and doctrine of verse 8 and verse 9, that he is to be tested, verse 10, that the congregation might find him blameless, that the not only would he be irreproachable in his character and in his conduct, but that the result of the test would be that his oversight of the diaconal service is acclaimed by the congregation as a whole, and that he himself, the deacons themselves, likewise, for the ministry of the diaconate that is especially done by the women, and therefore that sensitive part of the ministry that under the deacons that is especially to be carried out by women, that if it is so sensitive, that it's that part of the ministry, that the deacons should exercise the same wisdom with respect to their own installation to office, for whom they enlist in doing these this particular part of the diaconal ministry, like that to which they were originally called, for which the office was originally instituted in Acts chapter 6, and that about which we're going to hear in chapter 5, namely and particularly the taking care of widows. So there was the testing of the deacons in their oversight, and particularly testing whether they are they themselves exercise the wisdom of enlisting those who are proven, or will they be like the church has been since the 70s, trying to find a job for everyone just to, quote-unquote, get them involved so that they feel invested and obligated, and therefore willy-nilly including anyone in service without exercising the wisdom that is described in verse 11. Well, once a deacon has been installed to his office, he's not done being tested. No, he is still in the midst of being proven out. There is an ongoing proving, and this ongoing proving takes place not just in the congregation, but also in the home. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Just as an overseer, in order to be installed to his office, was supposed to be a husband of one wife, back in verse 2, so also a deacon must be a one-woman man. That's literally what it says here, a man of one woman. There not being separate words for husband and wife here, or in Greek, and we considered that last week when we noted that wives there is probably just the word women, although the wives certainly would be expected to have that character and expected to be among those whom the deacons enlist for that sensitive part of the service. Notice that this doesn't require that deacons are men only, the way the apostles required it in Acts 6. It just presumes that what the apostles required in Acts 6 was correct. It is impossible for a woman to be a man of one woman, regardless of what the perversion of a nation under great judgment, great spiritual judgment, thinks. It is impossible for a woman to be a man. And therefore, We read here that the deacons, being installed already to their office, must be consistently in the home what they are in the congregation. In other words, those who rule well. And this word that's translated well, for ruling their children in their own house as well, in verse 12, is the same as the word for deaconing well. In verse 13, served well as deacons is just deaconing well, obtained for themselves. And it's the same word as good, a well or good standing, attainment, elevation, advancement. The word translated standing is really of the next level, next degree. And so there's something that they attain to as they deacon well in the congregation. But they don't just want it to be deaconing well in the congregation. A man's first place of ministry is his home, and this is true of the deacons also. After all, we're going to hear in some instruction that pertains to their work in chapter 5 that a man who does not provide for his own household, those who are his own and especially of his own house, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And if that's true in material things, how much more true in spiritual things? And yet the history of many congregations is littered with wives and children and household associates or everyday associates of men who were officers in the church and were thought to be one thing by the congregation, but proved to be something else. With their wife, something else. With their children, something else. With their employees or servants or business associates. But the Lord is a covenantal God. He has given us the household as the fundamental unit of his covenant people. And so there's covenant home with covenant children, and even to some respect, 1 Corinthians 7, covenant spouses, where the husband, for the sake of the children and because of the believing of the wife, is considered as if he had been holy. And so those covenant children of just the believing mother in 1 Corinthians 7 are treated by God as if their father also was a believer, as if their father also had been a saint. You're not a half covenant child if you have just one covenant parent. You're a full covenant child. God is a covenantal God, and it offends against God, it blasphemes against God and his gospel. When a man who seems to have been proven to be godly and qualified in the congregation generally is proven otherwise in the home. And this makes disasters, spiritual disasters. Wives who are hard against God and rebellious in their spirits and unbelieving and hopeless of the gospel. Children who abandon the faith and accept any sort of false doctrine, who become self-indulgent and anti-authoritarian, associates and servants who are inoculated against, made by their own unconverted state, and yet with the treatment that they receive from this officer of the church who's in their life, becoming the occasion upon which they blaspheme and slander the faith of the Lord Jesus and even our Lord himself, is exactly the opposite of what the office of deacon is designed to do. Verse 13, for those who deacon well obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness. The word there, boldness is fine, but to help your understanding of it, freedom in the faith, confidence in the faith, they don't have to be halting and stuttering and shrinking, bashful, ashamed with the faith. No, they're free and open with who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, as they have experienced not only the gracious work of Jesus in themselves, but seen the fruit of the Lord's gracious work in his people, because they're overseeing the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the service that they oversee the people of God in is a proving ground, a demonstration ground for the gracious work Jesus has been doing in them. And they come home and they see the Lord's blessing on their ministry to their wife, on the ministry to their children, in their everyday labors with those who are their servants or employees or business associates or neighbors. They are enjoying the Lord's blessing. And not only are they then freer in themselves and more ready to testify of who Christ is and what Christ has done, but the proof in their lives that others can see also affirms that the word about Christ in their mouth is true. This is how it ought to work with deacons. This is how we see it working in the book of Acts. You remember Stephen and you remember Philip. Philip, whose ministry in his own house to his daughters results in his daughters being used by the Spirit sometimes to prophesy, saying that which comes not from them, but directly from the Lord. And Stephen and Philip both becoming being used by the Lord for effective evangelism. Therefore, not only in their own homes, but in the household of God. So the diaconate is not just a place where you set it and forget it. You install the deacon and he's done. Once a man has been installed as a deacon, his ministry is just beginning. And the great place of that ministry is to be his own home. How is he to oversee others and teach them, press upon them their obligation in their own home if he himself is not fulfilling that obligation in his own home? And so there's much glory to be brought to Christ and to the gospel through good diaconal service. And the instruction of the Holy Spirit for pursuing the glory of Christ and the glory of the gospel in good diaconal service includes the installation of deacons who not only have proven character and proven theological convictions through a testing that has taken place in anticipation of their installation to the office, but also deacons who continue to prove forth the gospel in their own home, in their own life, and obtain for themselves this level where they become elevated in the eyes of others. They attain to a level of maturity that is an example and an encouragement for the rest of the congregation as well. Indeed, all husbands, all fathers should be seeking to be these things. And that's one of the reasons why the Lord gives to his church both overseers and deacons who are examples, not because they are unique, but because they are the sorts of husbands and fathers that ought to be in every home in the church. Let us pray that we would have such as well. Father, we pray for me, we pray for the boys especially, that you would be producing in us the character of Christ. We pray for our church, that we would have elders and deacons according to the description, who are installed according to the instruction, and who continue to proceed in the manner, all of which are described here in this chapter, the last several weeks' worth of study. We pray, Lord, that Christ would be glorified, that he would do gracious work in every man, woman, boy, and girl in our home, in our congregation, and that this gracious work would be displayed by the proper ordering and carrying out of his church according to his word. Bring glory to our Redeemer in this way, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.